The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Welcome again to the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here at MLWRadio.com. I am your host, Striga. I'm as usual joined by my wonderful co-host, Dylan, right from Tennessee. Dylan, what's up?
I am in Tennessee.
Yes.
That is correct.
Yes.
It's a day, the sun is out, and we're hosting a podcast about Japanese wrestling.
It is a day. That's the correct statement as well. And
or night, depending on where you are.
Yeah, well, the day is closing out. But we are recording this fine show, I hope, on Japanese pro wrestling. And you, the listener, this is the week you need to really listen to all the changes here at MLW. Because, as I told you before, to get our show, you need to subscribe to our feeds at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, or the RSS feed. Just search for Eastern Lariat, or you go to mlwradio.com. You search for our show on the drop-down menu at the top of the front page of MLW, and then you can subscribe to the feed you would like to subscribe to. The important part about this is that if you subscribe, please rate and review the show, as we bring you the Eastern Lariat podcast completely for free.
Yes, please, please. Right now, I'm not on my knees. I'm sitting cross-legged right now. But I'm begging you people, please give us a five-star review. We need it. We need it to live.
I think 2 weeks ago you said five-star reviews only if you really mean it.
That was stupid. Why would you even listen to something like that? You know, I say a lot of things. Not all of them are true. Not all of them make sense. But this time, it's true. We deserve the five-star rating.
Oh, boy.
I feel like we are the top dogs of Japanese pro wrestling, I feel like.
That's...
Especially our... Even if you don't like the podcast, you have to like Cage Match. So give
exactly.
us a five-star for that. We don't need to know your reasons. Why? Give us five stars. That's all we need.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure saying this is a five-star podcast, but I wanted to start off with... I want to actually grab something you just said and make the transition from there, because you talked about the top dog. And one person who used to be the top dog as a gaijin in Japan was Terry Funk. And actually, this week, 47 years ago, on July 26, 1970, Dory Funk Jr. and Terry Funk came to Japan for the very first time. One day later, on July 27, the Funks beat Antonio Inoki and Michiaki. I'm sorry for butchering the name so badly. Michiaki Yoshimura in the JWA promotion. 1 year later, the Funks won the NWA International Tag Team title from Antonio Inoki and Giant Baba for the first time. On June 11, 1976, Terry Funk defended his NWA World title then against Jumbo Tsuruta, already in All Japan. I recently saw that match on the fine Google Drive that was provided by the great people of the Classic Japanese Pro Wrestling group over at yes. Facebook. This match is on there as well. Terry Funk also had a match against then NWA World Champion Ric Flair in 1981 that ended in a draw in Yokohama in front of about 5,400 people. And both Terry Funk and his brother continued their successful career as a regular team in Japan up until 1991, as they won the Open Tag League 1997, the Real World Tag League 1979 and 1982, and won the NWA International Tag Team title on three different occasions. And of course, then in the 90s, Terry Funk continued his career in Japan as a deathmatch fighter. His deathmatch wrestlers doing deathmatches in Japan are not regarded as wrestlers, but as deathmatch fighters. That's what you will always hear yes. when the announcing teams talk about guys like Isami Kodaka these days. He was a deathmatch fighter for IWGP Japan and for FMW, most notably, of course, the King of the Deathmatches in 1995. Aside from that, the Funks were always All Japan guys and only had a handful of matches for New Japan, most notably them being on the losing end against the team of Bob Backlund and Tatsumi Fujinami on October 8, 2001 in the Tokyo Dome in front of an announced crowd of 61,500 fans.
And very legit.
Yes, of course. And both Terry and Dory still come to Japan, as Terry is set to face Nosawa Rongai on August 25, and 3 days later, on August 28, he teams with Nosawa and Zanshiro Takagi, the president of Dramatic Dream Team, taking on Yukio Sakaguchi, Kota Umeda, and the great Kabuki for DDT in Sumo Hall. So, that's a brief rundown of Terry Funk's career in Japan, both Terry and Dory's career in Japan. Legendary tag team in Japan, it's always still amazing how the fans react when Terry and Dory, or only one of them, come out to a show in Japan. The fans are still so into those guys because they know how legendary of a tag team they were in Japan.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I've seen so many of those the Funks matches in All Japan. We're talking, this was back when Jumbo, Baba was teaming with Jumbo when he was still under his real name, Tomomi Tsuruta.
Right.
I've seen matches then, and then obviously when Jumbo came up, people like Billy Robinson, Terry wrestled against at times. Just a lot of great stuff from them, from those guys in Japan, and true legends. I can't wait to see Funk. I saw that announced the other day for DDT, and that's just another great thing about that show coming forward.
Yeah, so that's the career of the Funks in Japan, and we just talked about attendances. 61,500 fans. Switching gears from here, we got to talk about Pro Wrestling Noah and their recent attendance slump, you really have to say.
I feel like ominous music should play whenever we talk about Noah like that.
So, just to be perfectly clear about this, I don't want Noah to do bad. I don't want them to do bad business, but the numbers they are doing as of late are really, really bad. So I've put together the Currican Hall attendances for Pro Wrestling Noah in 2016, and they have drawn good numbers. The first show of the year on January 9 did 1,384 people. Then we, for example, have the show on February 24, which did 1,059 people. March 19 with Sugiura versus Nakajima did almost 1,500 fans. The Global Tag League final on May 4 did 1,469 people. And the Misawa Memorial Show on June 12 also did 1,455 fans. But then, in July, their numbers dropped to 800. And most recently, for the show on July 23, the number for Currican Hall dropped to only 647 fans. This was the first show of the year without Naomi Chimaru Fuji and Katsuhiko Nakajima, as both are on the G1 shows. And what I take from this is my impression of this, is that Goshi Ozaki is failing as a draw on top of the promotion as the GHC heavyweight champion, because the title win, when he won the championship from Takashi Sugiura on May 28 in Osaka, did only 1,923 people in the big Osaka prefectural gymnasium. What's your take on this, Dylan?
I don't think that's out there at all, what you just said. Shiozaki's had a history of not being a very good draw on top, starting from his original Noah title win. There were some extenuating circumstances with that, obviously, but even in All Japan, we've seen the promotion go up since he left, not down. And Noah, like you said, his title win did not do well against Sugiura. I don't want to put it all on him, though. I think he's really talented, and I want to give him a little more of a benefit of the doubt, even though there's a lot of evidence that supports that statement. I think there's just a lot of things that have went wrong with Noah.
Yeah, one thing, it's not only that Chiyosaki is on top, but there's also Minoru Suzuki.
Yes, I was just about to make that point. Like, you can't just put it on him, because when Marufuji was champion, if you remember his last title reign, this was right before Suzuki came in.
Yeah.
Things were actually going pretty all right for Noah. That was when Sekimoto and the BJW guys were still around, too, at that point. And things seem to be going in a good direction. They switched gears to this Suzuki Goon storyline, which I was heavily against from the beginning. A lot of people were very excited, but most of those people didn't watch Noah before or really understood why, or anything about the company, really, in my opinion. But ever since that happened, we've seen things go down and down and down, and this is just kind of the climax and a further continuation of that. More than a shot at a go necessarily. He's the best he can. I don't want to make excuses because, like I said, he has a couple of times of this sort of thing happening. But there's only so much you can do when you're surrounded by the talent that they have in the heavyweight division. There, no Marufuji, no Nakajima, but they weren't even using Nakajima that well anyway. It's not like he was a big deal in Noah beforehand. He was slightly just getting pushed. Just now, he was slightly.
Yeah, right. Just gonna say the numbers that I just had were the numbers when Nakajima really did get his push as both as a singles wrestler and as a tag team wrestler. He had a tag team title match with tag team title match with Masaki Tamiya against Marufuji and Yano, which also only did 837 fans in Kirkknoll.
See, that's just right there. Putting Marufuji in a tag team with Yano, that to me isn't the sign of someone who's carrying the promotion right now. So I don't think there's any one person to blame, other than the bookers of Noah. Those are who I would target more than Go necessarily right now, but I don't think he helps anything. That's for sure, as champion. It's not like him being champion has turned anything around, or I would count on turning things around. And they put a lot into Go since he resigned.
He's been put in a very difficult situation as he left Noah, came back from All Japan, was a freelancer for quite a while, then re-signed with the company. There were some boos when he won the championship in Osaka. People really didn't want him to be there in the first place. When he came back in November, he was booed in Kurken Hall. And I think I said it on a show a couple of months ago that I think he's going to be the savior now. And he is apparently going to be portrayed as the savior of Pro Wrestling Noah against Suzuki-gun, as he beat Shelton Benjamin recently, which as I said, this match did a good number, but it was also the Misawa Memorial Show, so...
I just go back to remember Fortune Dream.
Yeah.
And his tag match, he got a negative reaction out of all the four. I just go back to that during the finishing stretch. Whenever he would come in, that was the only time I heard boos during that match. It's when he came in, and I feel bad for him. Like you said, he's been put in a rough spot in a lot of ways. Some of it his own doing, but I do think that there is, especially in the Noah crowd, there's something to that. Just continuing to drive off the old guard of Noah diehards, however many are left of that group. Bringing him back probably didn't make them too happy because he left in very public fashion.
Oh yeah,
along with the rest of Burning. But I still enjoy him as a wrestler.
Yeah, me too. And I'm really sorry for him that he is not connecting to the point. Because yeah. I remember I saw Go Shiozaki live in WXW when he still was a very young wrestler.
Yeah.
And when I saw this guy who was very unpolished to that point of his career, I was so sure that he would be the next star for Pro Wrestling Noah to really make a difference for the promotion, and sadly he didn't.
Yeah, he was Kobashi's boy
right.
back in the day.
Right.
You know, but remember this too. I think there are some lessons to be learned from Noah, especially if you remember back even from the very beginning. Akiyama often gets labeled with this type of, you know, the same type of stigma,
yeah.
Of not being a draw based on that. But you have to look at the extenuating circumstances of that as well. You know, when nobody, you know, it took him so long to give him a chance, and there was a lot of questionable booking around that time in terms of Akiyama. I don't want to get too deep into it, but losing to Ogawa, probably not the best thing.
No.
To make someone a big star. And so I think there's a lot of that, too. I think there's a lot of other circumstances around Shiozaki. But there's no doubt about it. Like, regardless of the reasons, whether whose fault it is, he's just not connecting right now with the crowd. He's not drawing whatsoever. Though it did, I will say this. I like you, I don't root against Noah. Noah's always been my favorite company. Before the Suzuki-gun thing started. And I want them to do well. I want them to get back. Like, just look at All Japan, the way they're on the right track now again. I would like to see that, even if they're not out of the woods, just like All Japan, I'd like to see them get on the right track, you know? And
yes.
I will say the one good thing about this is someone made me laugh on Twitter. I believe this was Brother Pole on Twitter who posted this picture of Noah put a picture of Kotoge just in an empty arena.
Oh, boy.
And pull sometime in and the full Noah attendance or something of that. Okay, it made me laugh a lot. So
joking about it doesn't mean we want Noah to do bad. That's the gist of it, basically.
And I hate it too because it was Kotoge, you know?
Yeah.
And he already got a bad rap in the Super J Cup.
Okay. I think the situation for Pro Wrestling Noah is not easy right now. They are struggling to find someone to really make a difference on top. It's not Shiozaki. It's not Minoru Suzuki, apparently. So
who could it be?
Nakajima, you know, man. Nakajima. That's the guy.
Yeah.
That's the guy.
I would love if that happened. He's really their only option at this point. Either
yep.
him or Maybach.
Right.
You know? And you don't want Maybach.
That's the two guys they have.
Even though Maybach's actually okay, I don't want to rip Maybach. He's actually a lot better than he used to be, but not anywhere near Nakajima.
That's true. Yeah. From Noah, switching gears to two other difficult topics, there is a show for the Yoshi wrestler Ray, so-called Ray 8 show in Itabashi Green Hall on August 7. There is a card, but not really a full card as of right now. JWP had a Kuroken Hall show on yesterday, I believe, on Sunday the 24th as well, and they said they were sending a tag team offer match to the Ray 8 show, and there is going to be the usual FMW crew is going to be there, so that's going to be a show that the benefits from that show, the money from that show will be donated to Ray's cancer treatment.
Yes. I'm really happy that these are still going on. Everybody keep Ray in your thoughts. Like I said, she is in many ways the love of my life. But in all seriousness, like she is one of my favorites, and like I feel so good. Like I said, my username online, often known as Zero, was taken from her original name, which was Ray, and Ray in Japanese means zero.
Oh,
so that's where I came.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I've always had it. You know. I've always loved her work, and she's always came across like a really cool person to everyone I've talked to in Japan. And just everybody keep her in your thoughts, please.
Yeah, and another tough one, I just read that Azteca the founder of Pro Wrestling Kageki, that's a lucha-themed promotion in Fukuoka, had to undergo surgery due to a heart attack he suffered, I think, right after he worked the All Japan show on July 21. Because All Japan then announced that he wouldn't make it to the next show, and I was wondering why, and now I read on the Kageki blog that he says that after the All Japan show he did in Saga, he was taken to an emergency facility right away. He was lying in the waiting room with immense pain in his lower jaw while cold sweat flowed down his body like a waterfall, he wrote there. Oh. And after surgery, he was taken to the intensive care unit and has to spend some time in hospital before starting his rehabilitation program. So thoughts and prayers go out to Azteca as well, as this is a really difficult situation for him too.
I hate seeing all this happen in wrestling, especially just another person going down with something like that, Azteca. And just, like I said, just keep him in your thoughts too, along with Ray, along with Joe Doring. He's still battling his cancer as well. And, you know, when, especially just speaking for me, like I said, we're all still supporting you guys out there, all the wrestlers out there that do that. So everyone keep them in your thoughts.
Yes. Atsushi Onita, on another note, not as bad as that. Onita broke his right arm, will be out for 3 months now. He will miss the debut of his own promotion because of that. He will miss the debut of Fire Pro Wrestling. He will miss FMW, Kurken, in September. He will also not be able to headline Super Fireworks. So this is a big blow for all those three companies, as Onita has been the main draw of these companies.
Yeah, don't worry. He'll get another promotion down the line that he can make the debut show for.
Now we are laughing.
Yeah.
Well, another
injury. Get well soon, Onita.
Yeah, that's all. Get well soon, definitely. Another injury, Io Shirai made an official statement that she is taking time off for a small surgery for a tailbone damage, most likely that she suffered this damage in her match against Toni Storm, or maybe that's an injury she already had, I don't know. But the return goal is the 5-star Grand Prix on August 21. So, also, get well soon, Io, and hope she makes it to the tournament.
Thumbs up, Io.
Yeah.
We love you.
On the Onita note, I think he suffered this injury on Sunday when he fought Masakatsu Funaki for the Blast King title, and Masakatsu Funaki, after competing for Dragon Gate in Kobe, actually won the Blast King Championship from Onita after he hit him with an exploding baseball bat and pinned him after that. So Masakatsu Funaki, now the Real Japan Legend Champion as well as the Super Fireworks Blast King Champion.
I mean, who would you think more of when you think of the Blast King title than Masakatsu Funaki?
Well,
he's just a natural fit.
He may have a title match with Shigusa Nagayo down the line.
I was watching some of her matches recently, but we'll get to that later. And how is she? How, my God, has she changed over the years?
Yes.
But what a match that would be!
Yes, and as I mentioned, Dragon Gate. Of course, there was this great Dragon Gate show in Kobe on National Pro Wrestling Day in Japan, July 24. Dylan, you haven't seen anything from the Sunday's shows as of yet. But I believe there is a reason for that.
Yes, as I mentioned, Chigusa Nagayo.
Oh.
It's all her fault. I was starting. I was doing some research for a Joshi article I'm writing, and my plan was, I was up late with other things, and my plan was to just watch one or two matches before I got into the BJW Dragon Gate and all that. Probably not Dragon Gate until later, to be honest with you, but definitely BJW. And I watched one match, Jaguar Yokota versus La Galactica from the 80s. And that suddenly turned into 5 Jaguar Yokota matches. And I looked up, and it was like 5:30 in the morning, and I was like, oh no, huh? I missed everything, and most and some of the G1 too. But I was able to catch all the G1 shows. But yes, I'm so sorry to you, Striga, as well, because you were there. You were a trooper. National Pro Wrestling Day.
Well,
and I'm sorry I dropped the ball for all the people out there. Real power is people, and I let you down.
Well, we will certainly have the opportunity to get your impressions of the shows that went down in Kobe.
At least I could have said that I saw it and made up a bunch of opinions as well, or maybe just tried to guess what would happen. I think that would have been really entertaining. I feel like, but no, I'm an honest man, and I own what I did. I'm sorry.
Well. It's not that bad. We just briefly talked off the air that I will give a few impressions of the shows I saw, and then you will get to give your impressions of the G1 Climax shows. So, Dragon Gate, I haven't seen all the matches. I haven't seen the Tag Title match and the Triangle Gate title match. But I was able to see the other matches. Just want to say that this Futa Nakamura guy, he is really impressive for just being a rookie, having just a handful of matches. He is big guy, and he wasn't pinned in his match. Kenneth was pinned in his match, and it's looking like that, like he's really going to be a big prospect for Dragon Gate. The matches on the undercard were mostly short matches under 10 minutes, so nothing really too nothing of note really. Maybe except for Linda Man again beating a guy in under 5 minutes with Jimmy Kanda this time. He just he just hit the Locomotion Tiger Suplex on him and just defeated him that way. And then we had the Legends match, so to speak, with Yoshiaki Fujiwara teaming with Masaki.
This is what I wanted to hear about.
Teaming with Masaki Mochizuki, defeating Masakatsu Funaki and Don Fuji when Don Fuji wanted to give Fujiwara a choke slam from the second rope. Then Fujiwara just dropped down to the first rope, and Don Fuji still wanted to go through the choke slam, and Fujiwara just caught him in a wakigatame, in a Fujiwara armbar, so to speak, and just tapped him out in the middle of the ring. But before that, they had a wild brawl that went to the top tier of Kobe World Hall. And Yoshiaki Fujiwara grabbed a shoe that he apparently grabbed from a fan and hit Don Fuji with this shoe.
Brilliant.
For
a second, I thought you were going to say on the finish, that Fujiwara tributed Kendo Kashin and did a top rope flying armbar.
Well,
I wish had happened. That's what I was hoping for, but what you said sounded really good too.
Well, of course, everyone does a tribute to Kendo Kashin these days. So.
Yeah, yes.
And then we had Eita defeating Yosuke Santa Maria for the Open the Brave Gate title. Eita finally getting his big break after he had a bad 2015. He really, really came back strong. When he was put in the singles opportunities, we talked about him in the King of Gate tournament, where he had great matches. And now he finally won the championship. He called out the Big Six of Dragon Gate and said he's now coming for them, I think is what he said. And he beat Yosuke Santa Maria in pretty dominating fashion, dominating most of the match, working over Maria's arm. And then in the end, locking on the numero uno armbar for the title switch. And so Eita is now on top of the Bravegate division. As I said, the next two matches I didn't see yet, but I heard that the Open the Triangle Gate match was pretty fun. And in the main event, Yamato, as I said on the last episode, defeated Shingo Takagi to, again, be the Open the Dream Gate champion in a fantastic match that went over 30 minutes. But this time, I gotta say, this match really had me emotionally invested, because this heel, Shingo Takagi, being this cocky heel and most times being a cocky heel because he just won, and that's the greatest kind of heel you can have, you know, a heel who wins and just has bragging rights for him. But Yamato was able to outsmart Takagi for all of the match. He always had an answer for the offense Takagi was going for. Yamato working over the arm of Takagi, who always uses the lariat, the pumping bomber, as one of his go-to moves. And at one point in the match, Yamato also had his cross arm breaker locked in that he used to win the King of Gate tournament in the finals against Big R Shimizu. He used the almighty Frankensteiner to cut Takagi off when he was coming off the ropes. And in the end, he used his Galleria finisher to win the title. Just a great, great match, great struggle. This storyline has been going on for months now, and I don't believe it's finished yet. But Yamato is now the champion. Takagi is beaten. And boy, that was just a great main event.
Man, we said it last time. This storyline has been built up so well with Yamato, the longtime heel, coming in as this babyface, and we saw in the King of Gate tournament how well he adjusted to that role again, and he was the perfect foil, the perfect person to give Shingo his comeuppance. Shingo very popular right now. With his great heel run that he's had, he's just done a really amazing job. Been one of the best champions in Japan this year, and I think it was totally the right time to pull the trigger on the biggest show of the year. It should be a big match. It should be an epic main event. I feel like it totally deserves it to go that length of time. I can't wait to see that match. I'm really happy that Yamato got the win as well as we predicted.
Another guy I was really happy for was Hideyoshi Kamitani.
Yes.
I think I also predicted that he would beat Yuji Okabayashi for the strong World Heavyweight Championship, and he did. 27 minutes, beat him with a backdrop. This was an incredible, incredible match. If you followed along the rise of Hideyoshi Kamitani and Yuji Okabayashi as this great champion, he has been champion for a year now, and I just can't describe what this match was like. It was just Hideyoshi Kamitani fighting from underneath, Okabayashi dominating, but in the end, Kamitani just fighting like a true champion, like someone who really wanted this belt, and just this fighting spirit he showed in this match was incredible. And then after the match, Ryota Hama got into the ring. I think never before has Ryota Hama entered the ring in such a quick fashion as he did to put the belt on Kamitani. Everybody was crying in the ring and around the ring. It was just a beautiful, beautiful sight. And this match was great. I haven't seen the main event yet, because when the main event for the Deathmatch Heavyweight Championship, where Kankuro Hoshino finally won his first championship in Big Japan, at the age of 41, defeated Ryuji Ito. When this match was going on, I switched over to Dragon Gate to see Yamato against Shingo Takagi. But what I saw of this show was really, really good from top to bottom, really. Hikaru Sato and Tatsushi Aoki won the All Asia Tag Team title back for All Japan, defeating Yuku Miyamoto and Isami Kodaka in an amazing title match, where both Sato and Aoki always went for the arms of Miyamoto and Kodaka, which led to the finish of this match, actually. It played into the finish.
Yeah, good stuff.
We had the Big Japan Tag Team title match. Twin Towers Shuji Ishikawa and Kohei Sato beat SMOP, Ryota Hama, and Akebono. And there was one point in this match, I don't know if you've seen the GIF yet, but Kohei Sato, I believe, made Ryota Hama run the ropes. And I mean, and I mean run. Hama ran the ropes 4 times. I have never seen this man run before so long in my entire life. This was incredible.
With the grace of a gazelle.
Yeah, he was really running. But on the other hand, Akebono is it's really... I'm really worried about the condition. He looked bad. He looked really bad.
Oh, no.
It's a sad state right now. I don't think he should be wrestling anymore, to be quite honest. But
we said that when Royal Road started.
Yeah. It's not my call to make, you know, and it's his call to make.
Yeah, I know.
But this show from top to bottom was good. Very good. Very good, very good show. Drawing only 3,293 fans in Ryogoku, which is still good for Big Japan. Not that good for a show in Ryogoku. But yeah, as I said on Twitter yesterday, it was an investment for the future with putting Kamitani in this top position.
And a
guy who is not that well known yet.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say that I predicted this as well, that he would win. I really thought it was his time, and I think it's the best possible story to tell with the title, because as we saw last year, on this very show, Okabayashi had the torch passed to him from Sekimoto.
Right.
And I just thought this was a great kind of the next chapter for the company as a whole, to see Okabayashi is really risen up the ranks in terms of fan support and popularity as champion. He's really stepped up, as everyone knew he would, I think. And Kamitani is a great wrestler. He may not be as well-known or famous right now, but he's such a strong wrestler. Everyone knows he's one of my favorites in Japan, too. I represented for him to get his picture changed in a cage match from day one. I was there for Kamitani. I was on this train. His breakout match to me was last year against Sekimoto, his first title shot, which was an incredible match, and he's continued that momentum that now through the strong climb we saw earlier this year. He was one of the standout performers to me in that tournament, and he was the perfect person to get the torch passed to him here again. I love that result. I cannot wait for this match. I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to seeing that. I really regret not seeing that. As well as the latest chapter of the Hideki Suzuki and Nakanoe storyline.
Oh boy.
Was it a shoot? Was it a shoot? Tell me that, Sturgle. Was it a shoot?
You can never tell with those guys. One second it seems like they are working together, and the other second it seems like they are trying to murder each other. But the notable part of this match is that Takuya Nomura on teaming with Hideki Suzuki actually got the win in this match, as Uto was pinned by Hideki Suzuki. So I hope there is going to be a Hideki Suzuki Yasufumi Nakanoe singles match very soon.
And he's just Suzuki. God, I love Hideki. he's one of the best at, as you said, 1 second things could be okay, but then the next, 5 seconds later, things are out of control with him around. He's one of the best at turning, going from... He reminds me a lot of Roosh in CML and Mexico. he can just turn it on right away. And
that's
when
a great comparison.
It comes on, and I just... That's another match. Any match with Hideki, I can't wait to see. Even if he's just interfering. And as I said, if I were to make up things, if I were to pretend that I saw the show and didn't, I would have booked Hideki to come out after the main event to challenge Kamitani, but that didn't happen. But hopefully one day we see that match.
Yeah, it was time for the coronation of Kamitani and not to challenge, for someone to challenge him.
In it's always match, a good time for Hideki to challenge people. In my it is.
Well, then after this match, after Hideki and Takuya Nomura defeated Nakanoe and Uto, Hideki went over to Yoshihisa Uto, as those two have been a tag team for quite some time, and after beating the shit out of Uto, Hideki just said, "We're cool now. It's over."
Yeah. They can share some new Twitter photos too together.
Yeah, they can. They can. It's over now. Yeah, well, these were the two shows that went early on National Pro Wrestling Day. The other one that started a little bit later was the G1 Climax show from Kirken Hall. Again, a sold-out house. And we had a long G1 Climax weekend, 4 shows in a row from Friday to Monday. What's your impression so far, Dylan?
I've liked a lot of the work itself from these guys. The crowds to me have been a little lackluster in some of these matches, I have to say, notably in both of Shibata's matches. I was expecting a great reaction for both Honma and Nakajima as well. But it just seems like some of these matches haven't had the juice that I thought they would. But the work itself has been largely good so far. It's still a little early to really get into like MVP candidates or make predictions. I really enjoyed Tenzan. He's been a standout, both in storyline and in the ring. All three of his matches, I thought he did the best. He made the most of them. In Block B, I thought Naito versus Big Mike Elgin was really great match.
Oh man, yeah. That was great. Elgin did a great job of selling his leg in this match.
I know, and that was right after Shibata and Nakajima. As I said, that was one of my most anticipated matches of the whole tournament. And like I said, I really was kind of down after it. It was a good match, but I think just all of our expectations went a little overboard. And I know a lot of people are saying that on Twitter. I hate to just jump in with the crowd, but that's kind of what I felt too. Well, but then Big Mike came out, and what a match that was in the main event.
Well, to quickly to Shibata and Nakajima, I really, really enjoyed this match. I just sat back and just enjoyed the way that one of the friends of our show, the user, just quickly have to look up his username, at Jojo underscore runs. He said something. He said that Nakajima tried to get his face offense over, but when he noticed that he wouldn't be able to get his face offense over with the New Japan crowd, he adapted and went heel in this match, and he stole the corner dropkick from Katsuyori Shibata, and the crowd really hated that, and you could see Nakajima standing in the ring and smiling and just embracing the hate of the Kurikan Hall fans. And I thought that was just amazing. And I really enjoyed this intense atmosphere of the match, those two putting their heads together for the first lockup of the match, and just the intense atmosphere when Shibata locked in the Manjigatame, and it was just for me it was just a great pro wrestling match. That's just my impression of it.
I thought it was really good. They brought it. I think I'm just a victim of my own expectations.
Maybe
these guys. Two of my favorite guys. Like I said, this is something I've heard a lot on Twitter as well. But I think it was a great match in its own, in the way they worked it in a lot of ways. But Shibata right now said his match with Hanma was good. It didn't quite get over the way that I thought either. But I will say this. I do have to pat myself on the back because I correctly and accurately predicted that Hanma would go on a winning streak to start the tournament. And I totally believe that's where this is going.
Dude,
we're halfway there.
Dude, my predictions. This is the worst year ever for me. I think I think I'm at like 39% correct predictions right now. Which is largely due to the fact that I predicted a Togi Makabe losing streak, which totally didn't happen.
that didn't quite work out. Who could predict some of these things? Tama Tonga beating Tanahashi.
I was just gonna say, yeah. Congrats to Tama. What's your impression of Tama Tonga in this tournament so far?
He struggled a little bit the first couple of matches, just in terms of crowd reaction, as I mentioned. He's worked hard. He's brought his best here. I thought the match with Tanahashi was the best performance. Each match has gotten considerably better.
Yeah.
But the first couple of matches when he came out, it seemed like the crowd didn't know what to make of him. Somebody on Twitter I saw make this point that his music is a crowd killer, which I think that could totally be true as well. He has very bad music. I'm sorry, Tucker. But He's worked hard, though, in the tournament. I don't think you can really take anything away from him here. And hopefully with this win with Tanahashi, nobody could have seen this coming. And with this win, hopefully he can get a little more of a run. Maybe not. I don't know how many wins are coming his way, sadly.
I'd say one or two more, I would say.
Yeah, I predicted him to beat Fale, so he's already overachieved, according to my prediction.
Fale is my next talking point, but yeah, go on.
Yeah. I was just going to say, hopefully he can get a little more of recognition for the Japanese fans after this big win.
Yeah, and I was under the same impression that the fans on the first G1 show really didn't know how to react to this guy who, up until this point, has largely been a tag team or a six-man tag team wrestler on the undercard, so in the midcard so far. All of a sudden, this guy is in the G1. Of course, he has been there for a long time, has gone through the dojo. But he's, I feel he's somewhat under the radar, as he was in the Bullet Club, of course, from the beginning, but then so many guys joined the Bullet Club, so he really didn't get his shine. But today he got his shine, beating Hiroshi Tanahashi in a very good match.
Yeah.
Granted, of course, it was Hiroshi Tanahashi. But still, as you said, I'm under the impression that Tama Tonga's performances have become better as the tournament progressed. Maybe he was a little bit nervous, maybe going out for his first match against Makabe and against Tenzan maybe as well, but it feels like he found his drive right now. He found the way he wants to work, because he works this slow heel style, but he was much much faster with Tanahashi today.
Mm. I've always said that I thought he was much better in Mexico. In CML, because he got to show a lot of his natural ability rather than portraying this character that he has with the face paint and everything. Even though he still had the face paint when he went to Mexico, but I was really impressed by his run when he went to Mexico last month, or earlier this month, rather. And hopefully we can see some more of that, as you said. Better each time. What do you make of Tanahashi 0-3? Speaking of predictions, no one could have seen coming.
Yeah, well, we talked about that coming back from a difficult difficult injury. He was going to lose some matches. That was pretty clear, but you got to have the balls yeah. to put your biggest star on a losing streak like that.
What do you think of the rumor that he will lose every match?
That would be something.
That would be something. I would love that for so many reasons. I will get to Okada in a second, but yeah, you said you wanted to talk about Fale.
Yeah, but quickly to Tanahashi, I can't see him losing everything. There has to come the point where he just wins a match, even if he just uses the leg roll clutch hold he uses often to just pin his opponent or roll him up with a small package, something like that.
I still think he could very well win this block.
Sure.
I don't think it's impossible he goes undefeated from here on out. But I may be wrong. They may just have him lose a bunch of matches. But I really think that this will play into a story with them, and not just the story isn't he loses all his matches. but you know, we'll see how that goes. He's very interesting right now.
Yeah, before we talk about Okada, let's quickly go to Bad Luck Fale. As Bad Luck Fale has been killing it in this tournament.
Yes.
He has been very good. Maybe, aside from the matches he had with Hiroshi Tanahashi and Shinsuke Nakamura, maybe this is the best performance he has shown so far, because he has had a good match with Hiroki Goto, he has had a good match with Naomichi Marufuji, and he has had a good match with Tomohiro Ishii. Three completely different opponents, and Bad Luck Fale has always been a good part of his matches, and I'm really happy for Bad Luck Fale, as I have been a proponent of him for a long, long time.
Yes, I totally agree with you on this one. I wanted to say that. I got to this when we talked about Night 1 the other day. I think Fale gets kind of a bad rap sometimes. And I wasn't always a proponent of him by any means necessary. But as you said, he has great chemistry with Tanahashi. And these first three matches, he's played his role so well.
Yes. Also with Okada.
Yes, Okada as well. He did have some good matches with him. And I really loved his match with Goto. I thought they did some really different stuff. Goto's someone who's really impressed me. We'll get to that in a second. But he really worked hard against Fale, and Fale worked hard against him. This match against Ishii with Fale, we just saw. Ishii was like a wrecking ball against Fale here in this match. And Fale had just a great flurry of offense. Not even offense, just kind of wild offense. And he did really well. That was really impressive to see Ishii get Fale up for the Brainbuster.
Oh, man, yeah.
How great was that?
Although, I gotta say, I'm not a fan of the portrayal that Bad Luck Fale can be lifted as easily as he's been lifted by basically everybody on the roster. It always looks impressive, but it would be much more impressive if there was a storyline with a guy who just isn't able to lift him up, and then finally he gets him up, much like with Hogan and Andre back in the 80s.
I could totally see this happening with Honma after the G1. They just do this anyway. And with Honma trying to lift him, and then the big match, he finally gets the slam.
And then they tell us that Bad Luck Fale has never been suplexed before.
Yeah, exactly. We've never seen it before. But yeah,
we burn all tapes.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Fale, good stuff so far. Great start for Fale in this tournament.
Yeah, and before getting to Okada, maybe let's... We can talk about Okada here as well, because a lot of people have been down on the participation of one Naomi Chimaru Fuji in this tournament. And I was, when we did the G1 Climax show, I was saying that he's going to have a great match with Katsuhiko Okada. And so far, Maro Fuji has had good matches throughout the tournament.
Yeah, he's done good. I thought a big problem in that match with Okada, it was good, but I thought Maro Fuji did a lot of the same things that Sonata did in the match right beforehand with a lot of the arm work.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, I thought it would have been better on its own rather than watching right after that. He also Maro Fuji also did Goto's run off the ropes clothesline too. I was like, for a second, I was like, get your own moves, Maro Fuji. but then he actually did that first. To be fair, not Goto, but still. I did enjoy him. I thought he did really good in that match. We'll talk about Okada in a second. But I thought Maro Fuji looked pretty good outside of that one gripe. I thought he did good against Tenzan as well here. I thought that was actually the best match of Night 5, him and Tenzan. And as you said, he as well against Fale, as you mentioned, he had a strong little match with him. He's someone who needed to represent well because... There's a big portion of the fans that are against him naturally. Like, you know, just saying his name is like, you know, you're poking a hornet's nest just by bringing him up. And he's really delivered the best he could. He's represented well for Noah as well. I think that's a great thing for Noah. We talked about their attendance. If he keeps this run up and does well, I think he will get lots of points as well. And if he keeps this up, I think him going back to Noah will be a great thing for them with a kind of a fresh coat of paint. Great run in the G1 here. I have nothing bad to say about Maro Fuji in this tournament. I especially after this morning's match with Tenzan, I really, really enjoy him right now. Lots of chopping.
Lots of chopping. And the great thing about Maro Fuji is actually with Okada, these kicks felt like they really connected.
That is true.
Then in the matches after that, some of the kicks felt like they connected, and some of them were obviously
yeah,
far from the opponents, like with Fale, for example.
Yeah, I was just going to... I like to think he brought Sugira's spirit into this tournament. I think that would be a great story, too, if he just used a bunch of Noah guys' moves in this tournament. But he looked really good. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and so one name that comes to my mind is Zanada. He has had a great match with Hiroshi Tanahashi at the first night of the G1. We talked about that one. And then... Zanada went on to kind of a two-match losing streak now, losing to both Tanahashi and losing to Togi Makabe. No, losing to Okada, of course. Losing to Okada and Makabe. What do you make of this run Zanada is on so far?
I said it from the beginning. Wins and losses aren't... Like, I didn't expect him to be a contender to win. I thought he'd be a solid... I'm not saying he would have a losing record, but I thought he'd get a solid 8 to 10 points. Looked good, but to me, what was always more important was how he looked in the matches. And we saw how he looked against Tanahashi, and then against Okada. So I really thought that was a really lackluster match, honestly.
Me too, yeah.
And so Chris Charlton from Japanese Audio Wrestling made this comment on Twitter. When he was attacking Okada, he said he had all... I'm paraphrasing here. He had all the excitement of someone cleaning the sink when he was on offense. And I think that goes with his gimmick, obviously, part of the Ingo Bernables.
Right.
But you have to show something in these matches. You can't just kind of be completely lackadaisical, I think. And that's a problem with a lot of these matches. I think Naito's got himself in a great spot right now. And Sonata's still getting there. Against Tanahashi, he was fired up. He had great counters. But he also had a match with Makabe today, which also wasn't that great. But, you know, there's so much you could do with Makabe.
Well, the Makabe match, I thought, actually got really good towards the end. So I
liked it better than the Okada match.
Me too. And I would really say that Zanada is still trying to find his position with the top guys, trying to find the way to really bring over his gimmick, and it's a work in progress right now with him. Much like, I don't want to really compare it with Tama Tonga, but it's kind of similar that both guys are still trying to find their role in New Japan. So Zanada is probably going to get some more wins, lose some matches, but still,
I know you had high hopes for him.
I did. But still, what counts the most is that this performance he had with Hiroshi Tanahashi was really, really amazing. And I still would say that this was a star-making performance.
Oh, I totally agree with you. That overrides anything. But I love that match as well, just as a match and as a moment to see him get that win. Although someone did say that there is a question of too many upsets, all in a row.
Well, yeah.
And I do think there is something to that. I think this Tama Tonga beating Tanahashi, I think we need to get back to the status quo a little bit. But that brings me to my next point, and we teased this. I do have a lot to say about Okada right here.
Okay.
In this tournament. I can't think of someone who's been more lackluster in this tournament, to be honest. That's just my opinion now. I know a lot of people love Okada, but to me, I thought this was, just going off today's match, I thought his match with Goto was Goto's worst match of the tournament, and it wasn't bad. I don't think Okada's bad. I just think when I watch him, he just has this tendency to just go kind of on autopilot a little bit. Even when we saw that match with Marufuji, when he worked on that arm, he had no problem just going right to the elbow drop, you know, set up his normal run. Sonata, no matter what Sonata did, he went right to his normal thing. And he just comes across to me like someone that's really... And last year I felt the same way a little bit. He felt like right in the middle of the pack last year to me in terms of performances. I ranked every person. I think he finished exactly at number 10 to me.
I put this up on my Twitter today, actually, and I said that this is the main criticism that Okada always gets. He is a very good wrestler. There are so many matches where he just does his moves, and there really isn't much more to it. It's just like he goes through the motions. That's how I felt about his match with Goto today.
I totally felt the same way with you, and it was a shame because Goto is someone I think that match with Ishii. He did a lot of things different in terms of his, you know, setup, and he really looked inspired, especially on that finish. He totally destroyed Ishii.
Yeah.
on the finish. He looked really inspired and did a lot of different things. And they started to get there at first, but then it kind of came back down to a typical Okada match. And to me, he's been a real someone who I think, if we're going up and down the list of Block A, he's not in my top five in terms of performers. I don't know about you, but I think Fale's had a better tournament than Okada. If I had to rank them, I that may be controversial.
No, that's to me, that's not controversial at all at this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad because Okada is champion, too. He faced a lot of criticism for his win over Naito. A lot of people were... Naito's super over right now, especially on Twitter. And he faced a lot of criticism for that. I think... that, like I said, obviously I would love to see him change up something, like, because essentially he's really the same as he's been for all these years. He hasn't changed in terms of a character, really. You know, he's had little, you know, different things like becoming the ace this year, but in terms of his match-to-match performances, he's kind of the same as he's always been. And I'd like to see a change of some sort just in his attitude, maybe, so get a little more inspired. And as you said, I think that's a great... That's exactly what I was trying to say, is that he goes through the motions sometimes. And I like to see that wear off, but we'll see where he goes. this tournament. I think he's still going to get a lot of points. He has to. He's, you know, he's the champion. He has to be in it to the final day, pretty much. But yeah, I haven't been too impressed with him. Long story short.
Yes, I've been impressed with Evil. Evil had a good match with what? You not?
Block B.
Block B. Okay. I understand. But me. Okay.
But.
Evil has been impressive. He's had a win over Michael Elgin, the IC champion. He had a good match with Yuji Nagata as well. And of course, your main man, Yoshihashi.
Incredible win. You know, I was actually thinking, because as I said, I pushed the storyline with Hanma going on this winning streak for a while now. But after that first show, when the amazing reaction Yoshihashi got for that upset over Omega, I was thinking, maybe they should just let Yoshihashi do this instead. Because in my mind, I was thinking, Hanma to me, and we've seen a lot of this, is that he's kind of just a guy right now. They kind of blew his push after he got his big win, finally. And he's kind of just like a mid-tier player, let's just say. He's like Nagata level, sort of, almost. And I think Yoshihashi has upside right now. I think they've really got something with him, as well as Sonata. And I wasn't mad that he lost by any means, but I thought he had some great performances thus far. He's worked hard, as a lot of people. He was a trendy kind of dark horse pick as a worker type person. And I have to say, I knew I was going to be impressed with him. I was very confident that he was going to do great. But someone who's impressed me is Omega, actually. Someone who I've been very down on this year. I thought he was a really strong performer in the Yoshihashi match. He played the role great. And this Yano match, a lot of people were positive on it, and I was positive too. I have to say, you know, for a comedy match, knowing that's what it is, I think Omega can bring the best out of Yano, because my problem with Yano in these matches is that he's very, very repetitive.
He is.
Yeah, and Omega can bring different things to this style of match, sort of. What did you think of Yano in this tournament? Against Nakajima on the night one as well.
Yeah, well, against Nakajima was fine. Against Kenny Omega, I really enjoyed the match he had with Kenny Omega, because it was just two guys trolling each other as much as possible. But in the end, it's Toru Yano. He's going to have the Toru Yano match, and that's it. And well,
I know, and I just, you know, like
it's,
I said,
it's
I
neither good nor bad. It's just him.
It just is. Big Mike has been impressive to me too.
Yeah,
in this match, he stood out. I think Block B has a lot of guys. When Nagata won his first, when he upset Naito, that to me was as big of an upset as anything. The way they portrayed Nagata for a while now, and how protected we thought Naito would be, I thought that was a great move, booking wise. And if you remember, after that match won, the whole crowd was chanting for Nagata. After that, that was like the hottest moment of the show. Besides, and I loved that match. Not necessarily as a match. I thought it kind of went a little, lost its way a little. But in terms of the result and the post match, really stood out to me on that night. Nagata is someone I think I've always thought has a lot to offer. He's really underrated in my opinion, and he's got off to a good start here. 2-0. It's nice to see. I'm sure he'll come back down. And I was surprised to see him beat Evil as well. I actually had, in my predictions, I had him losing both of those matches. And he beat both of the Ingobernables.
Yeah. That's kind of the story they are going with. And that's good that Nagata is right back in the mix with a new story after he finished the story with Katsuyori Shibata.
It's something I really advocated for. I think he deserved it. He's been one of the MVPs, in my opinion. It really helped Shibata. Even though the big story after Shibata's match wasn't even the match with Hanma or Hanma's win, it was the Inoki-esque towel that Shibata wore after his match. And me and Jesse were already getting fantasy booking a new Makai club after that.
Sure.
I Google translated into Japanese and messaged Kidani on Twitter. I said, "Bring back Makai club." And so hopefully he understood. You never know with Google Translate.
I hope you butchered this translation as bad as I butchered the name of the partner of Inoki at the beginning of the show.
And then it translated to bring back caution.
Well, yeah, then you win either way.
Yes, exactly. But yes, I think there's still a lot of great stuff to be had in Block B. I'm really excited about the storyline possibilities and who gets what right now. I think that, like I said, I think Naito losing Night 1 because he was such a heavy favorite was a really great, really smartly booked show, that whole show, really. And there's only one man left who we haven't broke down, but I will give a little bit of props to because there's only one undefeated player in the G1 yet. Togi Makabe, his hometown, too, in a very, speaking of a very hot crowd reaction, when he beat Tanahashi.
You know?
And nearly killed him with a spider suplex.
Oh, man. Before the match, I was saying I really feared Tanahashi getting his spider German, but he really did. Man.
You were totally right. He destroyed Tanahashi on that spider suplex.
Yeah, Togi Makabe. I think we said it on the G1 preview we did. He's not very popular with Western fans, but he is immensely popular with the Japanese fans as he is a regular TV personality. And he has...
Tanahashi's friend.
What?
And Tanahashi's friend, too.
Yeah, and he almost always has great matches with Tanahashi, Okada, and Kojima, too. Makabe, he is a guy you can rely on. The people will get behind him, as you could see with Zanada today. He is always going to be someone who's going to make his points in the tournament. He's at 6 points now. I think he's going to lose some matches now. But maybe they are going with him through the final night. Who knows?
I don't think it's impossible. I always, like you said, I think a lot of people kind of, much like Goto, kind of underrate his popularity. Not this show, though, but still Makabe, though. And he's recently coming off his TV appearance, too, with Tanahashi. And what was that, Doraemon or something? I can't remember what it was.
Doraemon, yeah, right.
Yeah. He was on the show as a villain with the chain. as you said, he's a TV personality on the talk shows that are popular in Japan. And I expected him to get points. I didn't expect him to go 3-0 here. But even before that match, I thought that Tanahashi would do his buddy a solid, and in his hometown, pretty much, as it was a talking point before that match. He was really over in that show, too. You can just, even if you don't like him, you can see that the crowd really connects with him.
Exactly.
And that's what's most important right now. I think he's a very good mid-tier type player. So he's kind of like similar to Nagata, although I think Nagata, I personally enjoy Nagata a lot more than him. But he's someone that's good to have. And because he could beat anyone, or he could put over people as well. And all of his matches will be heated. If someone beats him, it means something. And if he beats someone, it's not a huge upset. So I think he's a great person to have around.
Yeah, that's a great summary of who Togi Makabe is in this tournament. And as we have 4 nights in a row, we are recording this on, for me, late Monday, we have one day off, and then we get 5 shows in a row from Nagano to Kurosawa, from Aichi, Gifu, and Takamatsu. Then we get one day off again. On August 3rd, we go again in Kagoshima. August 4 in Fukuoka. One day off. Then Osaka on August 6th, and from there we slowly go to the finals in Ryogoku, and there, as we said, has been one match added, the ROH World Title match, Jay Lethal defending against Satoshi Kojima on the final night, but that's still some way to go. We have so many shows coming up, but I think we are through with the wrestling topics for this show.
Or I have one thing else. All right. Because I mean to mention this about Tenzan. This is an idea that I saw, and I think it's a brilliant idea. Even better than mine of Tenzan winning. Which is, okay, I want to lay this out scenario. I want to shout out to my friend Eduardo, who told me this idea, and I'm totally stealing it right here. So let's just say that Tenzan's in... I really think it would be a huge mistake if he's not in contention on the last night, first of all. but let's just say he is, for the argument's sake. And he's about to win, but what if then Kojima turns on Tenzan?
Yeah.
Right then.
Who told you that idea?
This Eduardo at Wrestling Click on Twitter. Shout out to him. And he told me this, and I think it was just the most brilliant idea that I hadn't even thought of before this. I think it would be great if it happened.
I actually read the same idea from the indie wrestler Vinny Massaro, who is competing for Lucha Underground in the different other groups. Right. He tweeted out the same idea. So who did it first? Who added his idea first?
It's controversy right now.
Oh, man.
On the show, but whoever did it, it was a great idea. We can give credit to both of them as well as myself for bringing it up on this show.
You're right.
But I think it would be a really amazing turn if that happened. And it would totally give juice to Kojima as well. And leading into his world title match with Lethal. Some people have predicted that he will beat Lethal in that match for the title.
Yeah, well, let's see, man. When? I really don't know. But it would be something. Satoshi Kojima, the ROH world champion.
I don't foresee that happening. That's not my prediction. I'm just saying other people have predicted this. Hmm. Didn't you say that? Wasn't you that predicted that?
I did say that I wouldn't rule it out.
Oh, okay.
Wouldn't rule it out. Yeah, well, that's the rest.
That's G1, folks.
Yeah, that's G1, folks. I just want to close up the show on a serious note because I just read that there was another Rampage, this time in Japan, where a guy apparently attacked a facility for disabled people he was working in, and he killed 19 people and 45 were injured right now in Tokyo.
What a coward.
So, wow, that really, I don't know what to say about that.
Man, I had no idea that it even happened. We mentioned this last time with all the attacks going on.
Yeah.
And were you in, even in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, right.
You know, we've seen some things go happen
horrible,
recently.
Horrible things happening in the world right now.
I'm so sorry to everybody in Japan. I can't think of a lower person to go after someone who's disabled like that, you know.
So you
can't be more weak than that.
Man. There are pictures of empty wheelchairs outside this facility. This is just incredible.
Well, what happened to the perpetrator?
Do you know? I don't know.
Okay.
They haven't read anything yet. As of right
well,
now.
Everyone keep an eye on that story out there. By the time you listen to this, we'll probably know a lot more. But
Man. Yeah, well, we said it on our last episode. I hope we can provide some distraction from all this shit happening worldwide. G1 Climax, all the events happening this summer are certainly a good way to go out of your way to see and to just distract yourself from this fucked up world right now. So,
yeah, all it takes is one psychopath, you know, to screw things up for a lot of people. So, you know, I want to be positive about this. Like, even if you take everything combined, that's still only a few handfuls of people in the world that would be capable of something like this, you know, and I just hate seeing it all, you know, so much over and over. But like you said, hopefully with the G1, Pro Res in general, wrestling's really great right now. A lot of good things going on in general, and I hope everybody enjoys the show. You know, like I said, let us know, you know, what your feelings are. We got a lot of great feedback so far, especially about our Super J Cup show. I've got multiple nice comments from. So thank you to the fans out there and the people and the listeners. Like I said, you know, y'all really make this a lot of fun, really awesome to do, as well as you, Striga, as well.
Thank you, Dylan. Thank you. And as we just close out this show on this serious note, Drella, we are going to get your question in one of the shows coming up. It's just not appropriate right now.
Yeah, things took a turn for the worse.
Yeah.
Sorry, Drella.
But I think you fully understand that. And on that note, we are going to wrap the show up. I hope you enjoyed it. As I said, please subscribe, rate, and review our show, as this will benefit the both of us.
Only if it's honest, though.
Right. Okay, man. Dylan, it has been fun again. And to you, the listeners, I hope you have a good week. Goodbye from me.
Streaming worldwide, this is the MLWRadio.com network.